Psychopathic geniuses, knowing that one wrong blink could mean the difference between victory and another dead body down the line. Me and Steve, we get to rubberneck at the cunning psychopaths when the other lads walk them past the interview room, where we're bashing our heads against yet another spouse of the year from our never-ending run of domestics, which the gaffer throws our way because he knows they piss me right off. The head-dancing morons at least made a change. Steve hits print, and the printer in the corner starts its rickety wheeze. "You done?" he asks. "Just about." I'm scanning my report for typos, making sure the gaffer's got no excuse to give me hassle. He links his fingers over his head and stretches backwards, setting his chair creaking. "Pint! The early houses'll be opening." "You must be joking." "To celebrate." Steve, God help me, also does positivity better than I do. I give him a stare that should nip that in the bud. "Celebrate what?" He grins. Steve is 33, a year older than me, but he looks younger. Maybe this schoolboy build, all gangly legs and skinny shoulders. Maybe the orange hair that sticks up in the wrong places. Or maybe the relentless, god-awful cheerfulness. "We got them. Did you not notice?" "Your granny could have got those two." "Probably. And she'd have gone for a pint after." "She was an alco, yeah?" "Total lush. I'm just trying to live up to her standards." He heads for the printer and starts sorting pages. "Come on." "Nah, another time." "I don't have it in me. I want to go home, go for a run, stick something in the microwave and fry my brain with shite telly, and then get some sleep before I have to do it all over again." The door bangs open and O'Kelly, our superintendent, sticks his head in, early as usual to see if he can catch anyone asleep. Mostly he arrives all rosy and shiny, smelling of shower and fry-up, every line of his comb-over in place. I can't prove it's to rub it into the tired bastard stinking of night shift and stale spar danishes, but it would be in character. This morning, at least, he looks ragged around the edges. Eye bags, tea stain on his shirt, which I figure is probably my bit of satisfaction for the day used up right there.
"Morin, Conway," he says, eyeing us suspiciously. "Anything good come in?"
"Street fight," I say. "One victim." Forget the hit to your social life. The real reason everyone hates night shift is that nothing good ever comes in. The high-profile murders with complex backstories and fascinating motives might happen at night, sometimes, but they don't get discovered till morning. The only murders that get noticed at night are by drunk arseholes, whose motive is that they're drunk arseholes. "We'll have the reports for you now."
"Kept you busy, anyway. You sort it."
"Give or take. We'll tie up the loose ends tonight."
"Good," O'Kelly says. "Then you're free to work this."
And he holds up a call sheet. Just for a second, like a fool, I get my hopes up. If a case comes in through the gaffer, instead of through our admin straight to the squad room, it's because it's something special. Something that's going to be so high profile, or so tough, or so delicate, it can't just go to whoever's next on the rota. It needs the right people. One straight from the gaffer hums through the squad room, makes the lads sit up and take notice. One straight from the gaffer would mean me and Steve have finally worked our way clear of the loser's corner of the playground. We're in. I have to close my fist to stop my hand reaching out for that sheet. "What is it?" O'Kelly snorts.
"You can take that feeding time look off your face, Conway. I picked it up on my way in. Said I'd bring it upstairs to save Bernadette the hassle. Uniforms on the scene say it looks like a slam dunk domestic." He throws the